We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. He got him on a high fastball for punch out number 12.
96 from Sale.
On his 89th pitch, the fastest one yet. Devers swings and drives one high and deep right center field against the wind, back by the bullpen, and it is gone.
Wow.
What a shot against the wind. Rafael Devers with a bomb. Ball game over. The Red Sox blank the Toronto Blue Jays. The final, Boston 5, Toronto nothing.
Right, this should be an interesting show. Christian and I have been sitting around for the last 5 hours eating and drinking, and Lou's actually been working and talking.
Hey.
Oh, jeez, I don't know about you. Where's the treadmill?
The popcorn that we have digested over the last 3 hours is insane.
We found out that when you don't work at the ballpark, because we were just sitting around watching the game,
you
were working, you were talking.
No boozing.
No, we didn't. We stayed away from the booze, but you just eat too much. There's food around.
It's like being on a cruise.
Yes.
You know, being in the suite, it's like being on a cruise. In between innings, maybe a pitching change. Maybe the game's just getting boring. You know what? Let's not talk to each other. Let's just stuff our face with popcorn. See this box right here? We had about four of these things. And I said, you know what? I'm taking one home.
How much popcorn are you guys going to have?
I don't know.
Typical Christian. He took a doggy bag out of the luxury suite.
I did. No. I didn't take it. I asked the lady to go find me one.
Yeah,
go give me another one.
Go find some food.
I need some more popcorn.
I'm going to stuff my face. Remember the other day you said he was fat? You wait. Another 6 months.
I won't eat again all day, though. It's my perfect diet.
Well, how about that, Chris Alex? He won a game at Fenway Park.
Wow. Woo. Did he get dunked with Gatorade? Did somebody celebrate something?
Somebody had the tweet earlier today that Nathan Eovaldi has never seen him win a game at Fenway
True,
Park.
True, yeah. You know, true story.
He got acquired, whatever it was, July 25th.
Yeah, and he, July 11th, 2018.
So I think he got up here in time after that performance down at Pawtucket and saw the win.
Wow.
Yeah, I would sit there and say, all right, so that was Chris Sale, determined, focused, not giving a crap, or was he just lucky?
Yeah, it was Toronto.
I mean, no, that's my point. Or was he just lucky? Because I've seen him determined and focused before.
He had a couple walks early.
These guys he's got pounded by Toronto all year long.
Yeah, he has.
You know, we just got pounded by Toronto a few starts ago. So I can't sit there and say, well, it's Toronto. I can't give him credit. Right. I mean, when you throw well, it doesn't matter what the lineup is, you get guys out. Now, you know, is it the Yankee lineup? No, it's not. But he still threw the ball well. He located, but it was a different Chris Sale.
Yeah.
This wasn't the guy at the Friday night against the Dodgers that said, screw it, I'm throwing hard tonight, 97, 98, had no clue where it was going. He lived
low
at 91.
Low 90s, yeah. Low
you can 90s, equate it to a located. Couple things. You can equate it to a couple things. David Price, obviously, what he did yesterday, his comments yesterday, you know, galvanized that team and brought them closer together.
They're undefeated.
It was the fact that, every time he throws a bullpen session or anything like that, he has all his friends there to watch him.
Sure.
Maybe that's what it did. All those guys that were watching him throw the other day, maybe they saw something and say, I know what it is.
But who knows what it was? I know another factor in this whole thing was that I'm sure they sat down with him and said, let's talk about how you're attacking hitters and your pitch mix selection. You know, he tried to be a two-pitch pitcher for two starts before this one. You look, against the Dodgers, he threw six changeups. Against Toronto, the outing before that, he threw seven. Tonight, he threw 24. So it was a fastball slider changeup mix where he's trying to go fastball slider the last few outings. So the changeup was in play early. He located his pitches, and he got through it. Now, would I like to have seen seven from him? Sure. But six was good, especially with what Walden. You talk about Walden picking him up, picking this bullpen up, this team up. Those were two huge innings from Marcus Walden. And Hernandez and Donaldson did a great job as well.
So
good pitching performance
all the way
through.
Yeah, because we were sitting there watching the game, and I think it was, I don't know what inning it was, but it was 5-0. And then Glenn Ordway obviously says, oh, they lose this game. Yeah, they're done.
and
my point was, no, they're not. What would be the difference between them losing this game and losing any other game? It's like the same thing every week. you have some issue. They're not out of it. Even if they go down, they lose to a game, they lose to a team they should win.
Well, talk to me in 2 weeks.
This is going to be the way it goes.
Well, let's see what happens with the Yankees.
So
and
they
the,
win
and the
one, right, after losing another one. Chris Sale, you're all concerned about Chris Sale. He figures it out. You got Price coming up. You got Eovaldi coming up. You have all, it's starting to look like shape up the way it should
Things
be, right?
Come together?
Don't let us come together. Don't let it come together. Don't let us get hot.
So you're telling me that you were confident after Chris Sale, who was pretty damn good, got run support now, okay, with Devers and with Betts. Are you telling me that you felt comfortable going to that bullpen? Didn't the Matt Barnes, hasn't he pitched the last two nights?
They didn't have to.
Oh, right. They didn't have to Walden got the job done. But you're telling me you felt comfortable at the end of six innings with like a 4-0 lead. You guys felt comfortable?
No, I actually thought that they were going to somehow, you know, have a comeback and it was going to at least make it interesting. But you know the only thing worse than Radio Glenn dissecting a game?
Luxury Box Glenn dissecting a game?
Luxury Box!
Just have another slice of pizza. God.
Why? What was it? What? What was he up there?
Listen, I have not seen you. I have not seen you since this morning.
No.
Okay? The fact that you picked up on that is the best thing ever. Yeah, because
what are you supposed to do?
He does a radio show.
But you're sitting there watching the game.
During the game. Oh, what do you think? Like, hey, don't let him. They can't bring Bonds in. They can't bring him in. They got to give him a rest. I'm like, well, we're not even on air. The guy just wants to say hello to you. And you're talking about, you're dissecting the game like you're doing a radio show.
You know what I was
doing?
I was channeling Lou's job. I just happened to be doing in a different venue. That's
you picked up on that. I was cracking up just watching him.
It goes back to what we said before. If we were stuck on an island with Glenn, he would turn into Tom Hanks, right, looking at a coconut, going, "I tell you what, we should have went to FM years ago."
Yeah. Why do you think I got on that?
Glenn, you're talking to a coconut. Yeah. You know, you're losing it right now.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking to people on the street.
Lou.
I'm hearing Kyrie. He don't want to be in there.
Lou, I hate to tell you, when I was talking to the executives years ago about that, I was talking to a coconut. Because it didn't resonate.
That's so funny.
So did you guys do any conversation today? Because I heard last night, and Will Fleming, to his credit, on our pregame show, led the pregame show by talking about the biggest story of the day, which happened to be the whole David Price thing. Did you guys talk at all about it today? Was there any conversation?
No. On the air?
Yeah.
We didn't talk about it in the broadcast.
You were on last night, you were talking about it.
Yeah, pregame, you know, and pre-game, talk, you know, a little
that
bit.
That makes sense.
Well, you know, it's weird. When the game started, it was, you know, and I talked to Obi. I don't know if they mentioned it. I think they might have done a cut-in, and they had the quotes up there at some point.
Yes.
But it was just like, you know, Price isn't on the mound, X not in the booth, and it's just, you know, it's the broadcast.
Yeah, you're pushing it a little too much.
It was weird because I heard that it was our fault again. Like, we are being blamed again.
Unbelievable.
I feel like anytime somebody gets in trouble, we get blamed for it. It's our fault that this happened.
But the worst part about it, and I saw Lou go back and forth.
My buddy?
His buddy, Chad Finn. If I'm Chad Finn,
Twitter buddies.
This is the worst part about it.
Frenemies.
If Chad Finn should be taking a curtain call right now.
Yes.
He wrote a piece in which everybody in the city is talking about it. But the problem Chad Finn has is in his other job as a media critic, he's criticized us and others over the years of basically creating bleep storms. We're making a story out of nothing. Chad didn't make a story out of nothing. He asked the questions to Dennis Eckersley that should have been asked. He clearly put it in the piece without it being the prominent main part of the piece. He did everything right. And instead of going out there right now and taking a freaking curtain call, we would be sitting here applauding Chad Finn for putting together a terrific piece. And you know, we're not, you know, big friends and fans like you are with Lou. Instead, what he's doing is he's running away from it and blaming EEI and anybody who aggregated his story.
They're taking
his story. They are promoting it on social media
so that
everybody gets to see
it's everywhere.
Chad Finn's story.
Well,
and the only one hiding now is Chad Finn. Chad, take a bow. You did a great job. It's a terrific piece. Well, and you asked the right questions.
That's what got under my skin. You know, even like the follow-up, it was just sort of like, you know, I wrote a nice piece and everybody read it. And then, you know, then Reamer puts out a tweet and now I got this controversy and he's kind of running from that. And like you said, you should take a bow. You are a columnist in this town. Okay, your job is to write interesting columns that people talk about. You know, and it's almost to me, it's like an author who writes this book and someone pulls some quotes out and gives a little review of it, and it gets a lot of attention, and the author is pissed at the guy that wrote the article that's drawing attention to his book when he realizes that it's helping him sell his book. You are a cult. Do you think Dan Shaughnessy, if he wrote that Boston Magazine thing and for 24 hours of a news cycle, nobody really talked about it? It was a good article by Chad. But for 24 hours, nobody really read it. You saw some tweets say, that's a good story. Alex Reamer, in a tweet, and David Price retweeting that tweet, caused a bleep storm that is now drawing so much more attention to Chad, to his article. That's a good thing.
Let me applaud him again.
Can we applaud him again?
Excellent job. I'm standing up. I know you can't see me, but I'm standing up.
Why
Battlefield Commission, my friend.
I know it doesn't look like it, but I'm standing up.
And people are like, you know, being critical of him because you caused it. You asked the story question. He had to ask the question. You know, it was part of the piece. If he didn't, we would have sat there and said, how could you not ask this Life on Eck, and how are you not bring that up? But it's almost like now he doesn't want to be part of what's happened because of this. And it was only a small piece. We all admit that. But you should be proud of it. Why are you running from it? Why are you blaming us? You know, sports radio talking about it and exaggerating, I guess. I don't know the words.
Exaggerating.
Or rumors throwing out a quote. Like, it was a quote that somebody thought was interesting and commented on your article.
Well, we'll take credit if he wants.
That's what I'm saying. So you know what? Screw it. Alex Reamer wrote the article.
We'll take credit.
Put it all
Alex,
over the country.
Take credit. Alex,
WEI wrote this article that's causing this bleep storm. Don't you get the media? For Christ's sakes, you're a columnist and a media critic. How do you not get how media works?
You know, what he needs to do is very, very, very easily just point the finger at one person and one person alone, and that is David Price.
David Price.
That is it.
David Price.
That's the only person you need to talk to. Nobody did anything wrong. I feel like nobody needs to apologize. Nobody needs to make excuses for what they did. David Price is the one that now needs to come out and say, you know what? Whoa, I was, hey, do you got anybody know who that guy was yesterday talking? Because, man, was he out of line.
Yeah, see, the fanboys, I think, are very protective right now because they don't want the bleep storm to blow up this clubhouse. And so they're being very protective because, oh, my God, if David Price gets mad, maybe he won't pitch as well. And who knows? The other players are going to get pissed. That's what they're concerned about. But you're right, Christian. The whole part of this is David Price is the only one. He took the quotes that were in, I hate to say it, close your ears, Chad, in Chad Smith's
column.
Reamer wrote the magazine.
It's all on David
Price,
guys.
But he didn't even take the forget about the article. You're giving him too much credit. If you say the article, you would have to assume that David Price actually read it.
No, he read the quote.
He read the headline. And if we all just reacted to the headlines that were written either about ourselves or about some other topic that we are passionate about or interested in, we'd all go crazy. We would read the headline and we would go nuts.
Well, yeah, it's amazing to me that the criticism that Reamer kind of gets for putting out a clickbait sort of quote. Does anybody understand this business? Does anybody understand how this thing works? Like, you know, if you put out an article, what do you think you're going to tweet out as the headline? A very interesting part of that article. Why? Because you want people to read it. What do you think we try to do going into breaks? Tease what's coming up next to make you interested to come back and listen.
Let's hide it.
Does anybody understand how the media works? God forbid I expect the media critic to understand how the media works. But do people out there understand that Reamer did a good job? The Globe does the same thing. Okay, NBC Boston does the same thing. The Herald does the same thing. If you own a blog or a website or any kind of news outlet, you are tweeting out things that get people to read your stuff. I don't understand why people don't get this.
Well, how about the other people? I saw Jerry Thornton today, and you see in the others, he's not the only one, who are claiming that EEI is only doing it for clicks. Internet collection. I'm sitting there laughing, going, you guys do the same thing. That's what the business is, as Lou just described it. Well, the idea is to write something that is interesting, maybe that nobody else knows, and then everybody else pick up on it and say, oh my God, look at this, look at this. You authored the piece. Everybody else is promoting it, selling your book, selling your column. And now you're claiming, oh, Reamer was just trying to get, you know.
What does Thornton do when he tweets out, like, the next school teacher that banged a kid? Clickbait City?
Right.
I mean, what?
Click!
What is he trying to
click
do?
Clickbait!
You know what I mean?
That's what
is
they're
he
doing.
Trying to do?
I don't. It's one person's fault here, guys. And I know Carrabas is trying to defend Price. And actually, I read Carrabas' piece. After a few hours, he was able to calm down.
Yeah,
and he actually wrote a fair piece.
Yeah, it's good.
He did. He gave both sides of it. I'll give him credit.
But
he
what got, was his,
he got out
was
of the fanboy mentality. I don't even remember. The,
whatever it was, yeah, he was tweeting. It got you to read it.
Yes. Right. Okay, so he did a good job with it. But I don't understand. David Price was the one person that didn't like something that was 2 years old and suddenly made up, fabricated stuff about Eckersley, fabricated that he was doing the radio circuit now to regurgitate something that happened 2 years ago. All lies, all made up. You got to blame the guy. It's David Price. It's nobody else's fault.
Yeah,
listen, we'd love to blame Reamer. There are plenty of times we have in the past. I'm sorry, it's not his fault.
I applaud Reamer.
I'm actually
Reamer
just
did his
yeah.
Job.
I'm actually more amazed.
Like if this, want, hey, if Chad wants to hand off the curtain call, let him do it.
Good call.
Well, that's what Reamer's trying to do. So I don't know. What does this say about Cora and that relationship and how difficult
that's
it
a good
is for
one,
him
Christian.
To
well, we don't know how
navigate that
know,
personality.
The thing that we all missed was the David Price tweet.
Today's, which one?
Today's going to be lit.
Yes. We mentioned
hashtag
it.
Stay tuned. No, but did we?
Oh,
did we
know what it was.
Did we have any idea that we sit there and say, "Ooh, this means he's going to talk about it"? I was just like, "What the?"
Yeah,
hell
I didn't know
is,
what it meant.
Yeah,
either.
No, we didn't know. I mentioned
didn't
on
put
the
two
air
and two together.
Yeah, and I
I'm
said,
an idiot.
"What the hell is this?"
Yeah.
We didn't know.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
There it was.
Yeah,
we should have seen that tweet and said, "Here we go."
Yeah. So what he did was it was licensed for him now because Eck had a quote. It was licensed for him to go back and regurgitate.
It's like he broke the truth.
I'll admit
it. Now it's all now.
Exactly.
Now it's all everything's fair.
I'll admit it. That, you know, you talk about Cora. Like I dropped the ball. We dropped the ball.
We did.
You know, when you're talking about, did you talk to David? Have you talked to Eck? We said all that stuff. There was one more follow up to go. But, you know, when he said something about you got to turn the page and move on, it should have been like, so does that mean that David Price will not address it today?
Yeah.
And see what he said. Because if he said, no, it's over, and Price then addressed it, that looks bad.
Yeah, fair criticism of us. I think what disarmed us is he said, we're going to keep what happened, the conversation to ourselves.
Yeah, he actually said something about the only way to move on from it is to actually move on, I think, or something along those lines. So,
but
I just assume he's going to move on. But, you know, that conversation could have very well said, listen, Alex, I'm just calling you to let you know I am going to address this.
Yep.
Just to give you a heads up. I don't want you to get ambushed. It might, you know, cause a media, whatever. And he just was like, okay, listen, you do what you have to do. You're a grown man.
So we don't know
if there was a do not talk about this or not.
So a lot of people will, I feel like a lot of people are victims of this David Price syndrome, where they read the headline, they already have an issue with the person or the subject, they read the headline, then they get sucked into the tweets, they get sucked into the questions from random people who have two followers, and then they just become angry. And they become, bitter, and they're somehow they need to make it right. So he had already determined, even after he talked to Cora, that he was going to address it, and not just address this what happened, but attack. He went on the offensive. He attacked without any information, any facts whatsoever, just blindly shooting, hoping that he hits the target. And he came up empty, didn't hit any target, actually exposed himself even more. Do you think the other question is, do you think he even regrets it? Do you think he sits there and go, wow, I was out of line. I was emotional. I wish I would have taken a second. I wish I would have listened to Skip. I wish I would have listened to Porcello, somebody who told me, you know what? You should probably just let this one go.
All right, so let me give you a different angle of it. So suppose Price is telling us the truth, and I'm going to assume now in saying this that he's telling the truth, because I also heard from Eckersley shortly after it happened, that he did not want to address it with Price. He did not want to sit down. But Price is claiming that they had a meeting set up and that it was Eckersley who did not want to meet. He was the one that didn't show the meeting. So let's assume that that is truth now. So you get the Boston Red Sox that are owned by John Henry, Tom Warner, and this group, right, the Fenway group. And then you've got Nesson that employs Dennis Eckersley, and they own 80% of that, and it is controlled, again, by what? The Fenway Group and John Henry, et cetera, et cetera. Why is it that if you've got your key analyst on the TV and you've got one of your key players and you're broadcasting the games, why don't you sit there and demand that, you know what? We can't have this. We can't allow this to in any way invade either one of our companies. I want you guys, I'm going to sit down with both of you to try to figure it out. So is there not some blame here with John Henry? So he just lets it happen?
John Henry?
Yes. He owns both companies. They're employees of his. Eckersley works for Nesson, owned by the Fenway Sports Group. So why didn't the organization? We asked all the questions at the time. Sam Kennedy told us. He sat down. They had conversations with the guys. We heard the same thing from Tom Warner. So I'll say it to all of them. Why didn't you force them to all sit down at the time? I hate to tell you, that's what most companies would do.
But I also would say, in a weird way, this is great. This is great. So the Red Sox, they're up and they're down, and nobody knows what's going to happen. So many issues. They're taking on water. They finally get a win. But at the same time, you got more attention. I would think that they would be happy with the strong personalities and the opinions, whether they're right or wrong. It's better than what they were putting out on the field.
Yeah, but wait a minute. After that happens,
and they won. Look at that. They won.
But you're all flying in the same aircraft. I'm going back 2 years ago. You're all flying in the same aircraft. You know that X is going to have to go back in that aircraft. You know that you've got a problem with your traveling party. And you own the traveling party. You own you're the employer of the person that's working for you, doing TV, that's on that plane. Don't you have to resolve that? Don't you have to, especially if Price was willing to do it? I'm giving Price taking a little bit of his side here, and that if he was willing to do that and willing to apologize, why didn't it happen so that 2 years later, this thing festers all over again when Chad Finn writes basically a harmless article? He's just pretty much taking everything off of what we saw with the MLB Network stuff, and this is part of it. The conflict, the confrontation they had on the airplane 2 years ago. That's it. And 2 years later, and it's still not resolved, guys.
No, it's not. I don't even know what to do with this. Read this?
Go ahead, read it. Just
for
read
what?
It. Just read.
Honestly, that the back and forth to me gets kind of old.
Just read it. It goes to show you once again that Chad Finn.
So sensitive.
Chad Finn is in the pocket of the other sports radio station.
So
he always has.
We tweeted out your comment about he should be taking a curtain call instead of hiding and blaming the show. And I said, how do you not make the media work? Chad Finn, the media critic in this town. Tweeted out, you guys should be spending less time getting effortlessly dunked on and more time learning Kenny Chesney's catalog. Are you kidding me? You are a media critic.
It's childish. We just sat here
first
and applauded you. We gave you credit.
You know, I only listen to one. There's only one media critic in this city. There's only one. It is not me. His name is Alex Reamer. That's the only media critic that I'm listening to.
In all fairness, I don't think Alex is able to write about any of that stuff.
We don't like each other, Chad.
I don't think that's allowed
fine.
Either.
I mean, what is wrong with...
Chad, we were complimenting you. Complimenting you. Wow. If you can't figure it out, I'm sorry, buddy. You know, we don't have anybody to interpret for you. But you're taking the little shot because our ratings are you know, struggling right now. We're having a little bit of difficulty with some of the changes that have happened over the radio station. And you're supposed to be fair about this, and you're basically talking about turning it into a country station. I get it. I understand it. Funny little man. That's good. All right? You're supposed to be the neutral media critic in this town. Okay, I gave you the curtain call.
I just got the Kenny Chesney joke. It just
did you figure
me.
It out?
It just
great
hit
joke,
me.
Great,
I love country music.
It's funny.
Very I love it.
He's like in the pocket with these other people.
We
go ahead,
Tyler. Tyler.
Yeah,
Tyler.
We invited Chad Finn on the show to see if he'd come on to OMS.
Yes, will he come on the show? We'd love to have Chad on the show to applaud him. Well, give him a curtain call for his
job,
great,
yeah.
Excellent job.
This is news to me. Apparently he has a policy that as the media writer for the Boston Globe, I do not go on shows on either station.
He's a liar. He went on a podcast that we did on our with Kirk on numerous occasions when Kirk was an employee and working at EEI. He's making it up. Right now he doesn't have the balls to come on and talk to us. He won't sit and answer or willing to have a conversation
Nobody
about it.
Nobody will. Because
so
they,
that's
they
a
be,
lie.
They
want to
be
we can play tapes if you want.
Media critic.
We can get some tapes together and play tapes of you appearing with Kirk. We can do that if you'd like, Chad.
Oh
that
God.
Is a lie.
Oh, my God.
That is a lie. He doesn't
how do you become Stop. A media critic?
Holy
do
Jesus.
I just, can I just...
You listen to a radio and
okay,
watch a TV
that's
show.
That's it. So,
that's all
so Reamer. So Reamer's the guy.
How stupid is this? We just sat and applauded him. I was sitting there saying, why are you getting so worked up and backtracking? Why are you worried? Are you worried that the people that follow you, the other fanboys, are going to think that you're trying to disrupt the clubhouse and disrupt the Red Sox? Is that what you think, Chad?
That's what they need.
Because Trust us. This was a good piece. How many times do I have to sit here and applaud this guy that wrote a really good piece on Dennis Secretary?
Gotta be honest. I haven't read it yet.
Holy crap, that is unbelievable.
I haven't read it.
Why didn't you read it?
I read it. Protesting.
That was good. You protesting. Should read it. Want me to read it to you?
Yeah. Could you read it to me at night so I can fall asleep? Please.
See, now you're mocking.
Why? I'm not mocking anyone. What why is he any different than anybody else that I would make fun of?
Get the Chesney catalog out. Get the Chesney.
Okay, aren't you a country fan?
I, dude, I love
you. Love Kenny Chesney.
Hey, I tell you what.
Can we go all country?
Here's the
lose
thing.
The morning
oh,
DJ.
No,
I am.
Here's the thing, okay? I'd love it, dude. I would DJ the absolute living hell out
you
of country.
You can't hit the post.
Okay, I would hit the post.
You can't hit the post.
I would mix in some sports. I would love it. I would sit there. I'd have Lee Bryce sitting right across from me, my absolute favorite country singer. We would do the whole show and his entire album. It would be outstanding. I would love it.
What are you going to do, Christian? The rodeo roundup?
No, I would have my own. Yeah, I would have something like that. Rodeo roundup. Yeah, I actually may steal that name. Nothing but tough guys. I'd actually do the show in New Hampshire during bike week. I'd just have all those hardcore guys. They're listening to the country, right?
I just realized that this guy, they call him the media critic.
It's embarrassing. The other media should be embarrassed. What can I tell you? We are applauding you.
Don't be critical of us.
Did we sit here? Did we not sit here and applaud him?
Oh yeah, but then we trashed him, which is fine by me. I mean, we just trashed him because he's just he's not used to the attention.
See, I think
he want to write and hide? Is that what he wants to do?
He's a columnist. Most columnists, again, Dan Shaughnessy would be taken aback.
Shaughnessy doesn't hide.
Shaughnessy would.
God, we wish he would.
This.
That's the problem. We wish he would.
He would call up Reamer and say thank you very much. For bringing more attention to my article.
Hold on, talk to
this
the post.
This is what I do for a living.
Can you hit the
right?
post?
No, I can't hit the post.
See, I would say, even with...
Tangway, we could get Tangway over here.
I don't know what the fear is that exists
Hard
with
to love,
not
baby.
Wanting
Hard
to come
love.
On and that just a boy, have a discussion. Ryan. Nobody's going to get in a fight.
A drinking
We're
class.
Not going to attack anybody. Like, I would think David Price would be so... would do him so much good to come on to a show and just talk.
I agree.
No,
really,
he never would.
You don't... And I would think... We would probably respect him more, maybe even like him more. Maybe you get to understand. Give him a different platform. Yes. You want to hit the post?
No.
Go ahead, turn
right.
it up.
Lee Bryce.
Yeah, because this is what we're going to anyways.
I didn't recognize this.
I know you did.
Lou did right off the bat.
You'll be down in Cohasset on Saturday
little,
night. You don't want to miss it. First
I know little
song,
Earl.
8 o'clock.
I know little Earl.
Lee
He's got
Bryce.
Some boots. And I guarantee you, he tucks his Lee
class.
Jeans into his boots. He's that old school cowboy that tucks his jeans inside his boots, Lou. Not outside. He's not wearing a pair of Ropers. He's tucking his Jordache jeans.
Do it all over again. I'm in.
Yeah, you know the words. You know the words.
I do know the words.
I embrace drink.
I'm to the point now I'm embracing. I bring it on. Maybe in between sports, we'll throw some country tunes in every day. We can do that.
Why don't we do that?
What people want, that's what we're going with.
Why don't we do both?
Keep on reading it, from Chad and others. That's what they want, so we'll give it to them. We can give it to him. Right?
You got to come up with a new name. You can't be the Big O. Now you got to be Little Earl.
Little
Earl. Earl is the guy that I go to.
No, it's got
to
be
Earl. Yeah, Earl.
Not Little.
And
Earl.
Just talk Earl. With an accent because people have to believe you're from the South or from Kentucky or Colorado. You can be from Colorado.
Could be. There's
a lot of cowboys. Wyoming,
cowboys
maybe, something like that.
Yeah. Be perfect. Perfect. Oh, my God.
You're lost right now, aren't you?
No, I'm not lost. I just, the whole thing is everybody wants to blame everybody else. And the culprit here is David Price decided yesterday that he wanted to bring this thing up to the surface.
Oh, he thought all day. Again, it's going to be lit.
Right.
Stay tuned.
He wanted to do this. This was his intention. It was premeditated, and he wanted to do it. Now, maybe emotionally, he got ticked off when he suddenly saw this quote from Eckersley. He thought it was buried 2 years ago. And in that, I've already said it. Then that's on the Red Sox and Nesson. If you've got two of your employees and they're ready to kill each other, you got to bring them into the room. You got to find a way of making it work because they're going to come in contact with each other at the ballpark, on buses, on the airplane. You got to do it. Sorry. You can't just sit there and say, well, we're paying David Price so much money. He just doesn't want to do it again. Price is telling us, and again, I'm going on his word. Price is telling us that he wanted to have that meeting. Then you got to go to Eck and you got to say, Eck, you might not like this. He wants to apologize to you. He's admitting you're wrong. Let's get the two of you together. Let's bury this. Let's move on, man. We don't need this crap.
Is Price an eggshell guy?
What's an eggshell guy?
Like,
is that a country term?
No, it's not a country term. It's a hockey term. Is an eggshell guy is a guy that whenever you're around him, you're always walking on eggshells. because you don't know what he's going to say. You don't know what type of mood he's in. You don't know if he's going to be happy, pissed off. You don't get it.
I will say this.
And it feels like the more people that I'm talking to, since we've been at the park every day now, it feels like, the more people you talk to that are parking cars and getting food and covering the team, you get more information because they're in the locker room like every single day. And I've come to the conclusion that he is an eggshell guy. When you walk around him, when you're dealing with him, you have to be real careful about what you say because he'll do something stupid like this. Well, it's going to be lit.
Well, and here's all you really need to know. Did you see, I mean, the articles? I mean, it was just Michael Silverman, I thought, just walked up and down him.
Yeah.
I thought it was an amazing piece.
Broke down the media.
Steve Buckley shredded him. I mean, there isn't a media member up there that defends this guy. There isn't anyone. I thought Christopher Smith. I think Chris Smith wrote some tweet saying that, you know, I agree with Price. I can't believe the story came back up again. I don't know. But every article I wrote was crushing the guy.
I don't think he cares, though. I don't think David Price cares.
No,
I think he's to that point. But I think you're right.
He thinks he's a superhero. And, you
know,
he just,
yeah, but you know where he... Where,
I mean,
where
he, even he mentioned Carrabas. Even Carrabas, I felt like, you know...
He backed off.
He originally tweeted, he's like, oh, I can't believe this, all pissed off. And then when you read the article, he talked about how he's critical of Dave and how it needs to go away. You know, so, I mean, it was, I think everybody. I don't know any too many people that really sided with this guy.
But
it didn't work.
But I think if you continually allow Price to do this, then he's going to figure that he's entitled. He can do it. And so I don't think the players walk on eggshells over there. Lewis said this. I've heard this from other people. He is a terrific teammate. Players, off the record, will tell you he is a really good teammate. So I don't think he's lying when he says that. Price, now I'll say this, and this is none of the present coaches, but I've heard that previous guys who were here, obviously with the last manager, that they liked the guy, okay, but they also said that you could never really trust him. They were a little bit concerned about him. So in that case, what is Alex doing every day? Alex needs him. He's the best pitcher he has on that staff right
today.
Now. Okay? Okay. But he needs him.
No, he doesn't.
And they pay him an awful lot of money. So Alex has got to probably accept a little bit more from him, right? He's got to be a little bit more tolerant to all of that stuff. What is he supposed to do? Shut the guy down? You can't do
it. No,
you
can't.
This is not old school.
Let me just read you the first couple paragraphs from Silverman because I think he nails them. You know, he says, David Price pitches. When he pitches, we should watch because he's a great pitcher. When David Price has something to say about his craft, his experience, his teammates, about his health, about the state of the game, we should listen and listen closely because he's in front of wisdom who's refreshing, not shy about expressing his candid, authentic thoughts and feelings. But the next time, and yes, I'll get crazy in a bunch, there'll be a next time, but David Price has something to say about the media and how the media should do its job. Let's take a cue from third graders everywhere and run away in the opposite direction, fingers in our ears, chanting, not listening, not listening, because the man knows next to nothing about the subject. And whatever he thinks he knows about it, he's usually wrong about it. And that's it. I mean, again, the baseball side of it, you should watch. You should listen. When he talks about the state of the game, you should listen to him. But when it comes to dealing with media, you should walk away from him. You should literally, and I know that's not your job because the media, obviously, they want the story and everything else, but you know what's coming, and what's coming is not good.
All right, let's get to the phone calls. We'll open it up with you, and we'll go 30 minutes commercial free, so we'll bang out these calls at 617-779-7937, and we'll have a little bit to say with Danny Ainge, who's talking now about Kyrie and about what transpired with Kyrie and with Al Horford. And by the way, I just throw it out because what was it, Tyler, you said that that apparently Chad Finn said that he doesn't appear on radio shows because he actually writes about him.
He has a policy. Does not appear on any Boston sports radio. But like you said, apparently he forgot about doing Kirk's Pod.
Well, and plus we're also getting he's a regular on the station up in Maine. Well, wait a minute. You write about all of New England. The Boston Globe is a New England newspaper.
Right,
it's not relegated
jab.
To Boston.
The Big Jab.
He's a regular on there. You ripped Lou the other day on that station. I mean, we get listeners now who are texting us and sending us audio. I mean, come on. All right, 617-779-7937 right here on OML.
Chad Finn's a liar.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.